Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 769, and we're recording it on Thursday, February 5th in the year 2026. My name, Martin Spriggs. You've joined a show about technology and ministry. Been doing this for a long, long time in podcast years. And with me every step of the way has been my podcasting partner from North Mankato, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hello, Martin. Happy to be joining you this morning. The sun is shining here. We're headed to a high of 39.
And oh, my goodness. We have not seen above freezing for weeks.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. Are podcast years like dog years? Or
I don't know how you count them, but seems like a long time. 769 of anything is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, but... I'm still the same age I was when we started. So
just don't look at the, you know, show one. I don't know if we did. We didn't do video back then.
No, not for a while.
Anyway, we sounded younger, but we have just as much energy. We have just as much to talk about, which is good.
That's true.
It keeps us going. And there's all kinds of technology and ministry intersections we get to explore. So that's what we do here on this show. And sometimes on those intersections, we find some interesting people to talk to other than ourselves, and that's always fun. And we did that this week when we talked to Ryan Kirchhoff. That name may sound familiar because we talked to his lovely wife, Dana, I don't know, a number of years ago about Blueprint Schools. Ryan is her partner in crime in Blueprint Schools, but he's also the instructional coordinator at Fox Valley Lutheran. And he also helps us out on the Wells Tech or the Wells AI Task Force. So one other hat that he wore just a couple weeks ago was presenter at the Lutheran Leadership Conference, which I attended and had a chance to sit in on his session. So we thought, let's talk about AI. Fancy that. With Ryan. And why don't we play that interview? And then Sally, you and I can chit chat a little bit about what he brought to the table there. We are very happy to have joining us today, Ryan Kirchhoff from a number of different places. He's the instructional coordinator at Fox Valley Lutheran up in Appleton. He's also an educational consultant for Blueprint Schools, and he's also a fellow task force member on the Wells AI Task Force. Welcome, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Really appreciate it. We talked to Dana, I don't know, many years ago now about Blueprint School, so we'll get into that a little bit. But we noticed that you gave a breakout at the Lutheran Leadership Conference. I want to talk a little bit about that, too.
Yep.
Before we jump into any of that, maybe just give a quick introduction to our audience. Yeah, you're who Ryan is, ministry history, current endeavors, interests, that kind of stuff.
You bet. Yeah. So yeah, Ryan Kirchhoff, my first call out of MLC took me to California Lutheran High School. I was a dorm supervisor there for 2 years, a regular normal teacher for 3 years, and then I served 5 years as an athletic director. And after 5 years, I realized that athletic directing is not where God was calling me. So from there, I moved down to Divine Savior Academy down in Doral, Florida, and helped a starting high school try to flourish down there. So I served as the English chair down there and eventually the director of curriculum and instruction, and was there until 2021. And then in 2021, we moved up here to Appleton, where I took a call at Fox Valley Lutheran High School.
Okay. Coast to coast and now in between.
Yeah. And I have never returned a call. So that's one of my claims to fame.
Is that an invitation?
I don't know. I don't know. Not necessarily right now. I'm really happy where I am now. But
awesome.
Yeah.
And what do you like to do? Kind of your interests and your passions?
Sure. So, professionally, I love working with adults. I do love working with high school students, but I've realized that my passion is in trying to empower teachers, giving teachers more confidence in what they do and how they do it. That's probably been within about the last 3 years or so where I've really tried to embrace that piece of my passion. Personally, if you know me, I love golf. So winter weather like this is brutal for
Oh,
a guy
yeah.
like me coming back to the Midwest. I'm from Wisconsin, but winters are always a little tough. But yeah, love golf. In general, love being outside, all things Wisconsin sports, smoking meat,
Oh, there you go.
all the typical Wisconsin guy things that you're supposed to
Right,
enjoy.
right,
So
right. Got to find some a good golf simulator. Not quite the same, but you can drink and golf at the same time.
yes,
It's tough.
we have two of them at FVL, and
Yeah, that's right.
that has made a huge difference.
Yeah,
Yep,
yeah.
we've got a teacher league on Monday nights, so yep,
Oh,
it's
cool.
fantastic.
Awesome. So, what got you interested in AI? We want to talk a little bit about your presentation. It was focused on that. What got you to that place?
Yeah, this is kind of a long story. When people ask me about my experience with AI, I tell them I don't consider myself an AI expert, but I was definitely an early adopter. And so, as many of you know, ChatGPT started in November 2022. And on December 7th in 2022, The Atlantic published an article that basically the title was The End of High School English as We Know It.
Caught your
And
attention.
that I received it from a colleague, and then I proceeded to receive it from five other peers throughout the day. And so there's this I don't know, this feeling of trepidation among all of the English teachers that now this new ChatGPT was going to ruin education as we knew it. And I just didn't see it that way. And so in February of 2023, I put on a webinar that was free and anyone could attend. And it was entitled A Non-Freaked Out Approach to Generative AI. And it was mostly for faith-based schools. And we had just amazing attendance from people throughout the United States, some people from other countries that tuned in, and trying to get back to just the how generative AI could expose some of the basics of quality teaching that we've sort of lost, especially the process of writing. And so that was well received. And then from there, I was asked to just come and present at different places. It was a lot of what is generative AI? How does it work? How should we be using it? And very, very quickly, it got to be that I found myself saying no more than I was able to say yes. And so that year in December of 2023, I created a course for schools called ChatGPT for Teachers, which is now the one of the iterations of ChatGPT itself. So, but that course was a lot of just basic understanding of generative AI. How can teachers be thinking about it and using it? And then that just spurred a lot of other opportunities for conversations. And I would say in the last probably 9 months, it's also transferred into being able to present to pastors and ministry leaders and churches on ways that they can be thinking about and using it as well. So I've been incredibly blessed. I have never considered myself an AI guy, but it's been a really cool journey just in how God has allowed this to serve as a blessing in my life.
And I see that the title of your leadership conference presentation was AI in the Church, so it was broad enough to include the pastor audience as well. One of the quotes I thought that was really interesting in the lead up to it, the description of the course was, or the breakout, the tone will be hopeful, not naive, practical, not alarmist. And we discover ways to equip leaders to use AI thoughtfully in their unique ministry settings. A lot of interesting verbs in there. Anyway, tell us about your presentation. What were some of the important points and objectives that you shared there?
Yeah, so when John Hine first shared this with me and asked me to present, a lot of the verbiage was already there. So I didn't necessarily alter a lot of that, but his main objective was I don't want this to be a session where we debate should we be using AI. I want it to be something where we give people practical ideas. Like you said, the verbiage itself sort of outlined what was important. And for me, it was, I think, two big takeaways that I wanted to share was the difference between AI assisting ministry versus AI leading ministry, or leaning toward leading ministry. And then the second one was, I would say in the last, especially 6 months, I've had a lot of different people reach out, ask for policies. So what would be an AI policy that I could use at my church or at my school? And so trying to help leaders also see that policies might not be the best way to go with a topic like this, that it all starts with conversation and having guardrails and parameters a lot more in place than just a policy. So I would say those are probably my two big objectives in what I was trying to prepare for when it came to the presentation. And I was excited that Martin was able to be there to
Yeah, I enjoyed
be there
it.
for it.
You had kind of a unique approach of an instruction manual and some of the things that kind of gloss over, but in this case, important stuff, right?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a way to organize it so that it made sense to people. And the just as a teacher, I feel like the organization of a lesson is just as important as the content of a lesson. So I put quite a bit of time into that, and I was trying to think of what is the genesis of a lot of confusion and frustration with generative AI. And it's because we were never given any kind of an owner's manual on how we should be using it, how we shouldn't. Very similar to when the internet first came out, we had to just get it figured out. And I think with generative AI, it's even at a greater level because you can ask it literally anything. So that was the idea behind the owner's manual, and I was really happy with the way that it came out.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a good way to organize the information. So let's turn our attention, specifically to educators. You've spent most of your career in that space, and you've been working with them, and you've heard some of the concerns and, some of the misuses and, awesome uses too, right? So what are a few things you'd encourage educators especially to think about as they're considering AI? Maybe they know very little or have heard the rumors, but they all have different contexts. Some are, teaching at different levels, different subjects. But from a general perspective, what kind of encouragement, some quick tips that you could provide to them?
Yeah, this is a loaded question right here. I think first off, it starts with understanding that for a variety of reasons, but I think generative AI is a big one. We could also say a little bit of maybe the residue of COVID still and some learning gaps, but education is absolutely changing. And the focus on content only is diminishing. And so I like to work with teachers and help them understand content is still important, but content always has to be a conduit towards some kind of a skill, something that they do with it. And for a lot of teachers who are hesitant to understand what does that even look like, I feel like generative AI is a great idea generator when it comes to opening your mind to possibilities of what education could look like, where we move from the teacher being the star in the front of the room to the students being the stars in the classroom. And so that is a major shift. And as an educator, that excites me. I love it that we get to have a mindset of trying to empower students, making it that they're the ones that are the focus of the classroom, not me as an educator. I often like to think of it as FEL does not exist so that I can have a job. FEL exists because our students need to be prepared spiritually and emotionally, physically, whatever, all of those things for their future. So.
So I often think of as people approach generative AI, they always say, "Well, what can it do for me? Or can it tell me how to do this?" Versus where I think it's at now, is how should I or could I think about this? Agreed?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the one of the rules that we have in place for students right now, or one of the parameters, is that you know you're using it well when it helps you to think more deeply about something. And for all the teachers who are listening to this especially, that should be a big time mindset that you have. How is it that I can use this to think more deeply about what my students are learning, or how my students are learning, or how can I help my students understand this to a better degree? But yeah, just that idea of opening up your mind, like you don't know what you don't know. And
Right.
so a lot of times, just being able to see options, and that's one of those ideas that you had mentioned, like a quick tip for teachers, always ask for multiple options, so that you, the teacher, are the one who's discerning, that you're the one that's still in control of making the choices, not that AI is making choices for you.
Yeah, one thing that I found helpful, and you probably do this too, is at the end of every prompt, I always ask the AI to rephrase my question or ask the question in a better way to get a better response. So that's that you don't know what you don't know. You're not always quite sure, or you don't always have the best prompt in front of you, and the AI can help you help it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, especially for I think novice teachers to generative AI, the number of conversations I've had with people who have said, "Well, it doesn't do what I want it to do." And as politely as possible, I have to say, that's a user error. That's not machine learning error. So, yeah, the importance of creating quality prompts and making sure that I love that suggestion of altering the way that the question is worded, or another way to think about it, to make sure that you're getting the best possible options and outputs.
So we've seen this rapid change with the influx of AI tools for just about everything under the sun. What's the future hold? Do you have a crystal ball on what we'll be doing 5 years from now in education with AI?
Yeah, this one is a mind-blowing kind of question. It's amazing how much it's changed just in the last 5 years. So predicting the next 5 years is really challenging, but everything I'm reading is leaning toward education. Teachers will always be needed. So let's first establish that the idea of teachers or teaching not being a needed profession, that is always going to be the case because of that idea of discernment and decision making and evaluating. But I do see education moving more toward an individualized education, as opposed to our traditional students at a certain grade level having to learn certain content at the same pace. There's a lot of evidence out there of programs that are being developed that are going to help individualize instruction to meet students with their different needs that they have. Again, what that looks like exactly, I'm not sure, but that's the direction that I see education moving.
Exciting.
It is. It's a little scary, it's a little daunting, but when you think
Right.
about what's best for students, and I guess the longer that I teach, the more I'm convinced that it's when I watch a one YouTube video, if I would be assessed on how well I understand something, I would be not in good shape. I have to watch another one and another one until I feel like I'm actually there. Then I'm ready to be assessed. And we don't do that in school consistently well. And so just being able to help students understand, it's not so much a matter of when you actually learn this, but that you learn it. And it's good that journey is going to look a little different for each of those beautiful, unique brains that God's given them.
Yeah, for sure. So in your Lutheran Leadership Conference talk, you ended it with a little bit of an update on some offerings that are coming out of Blueprint Schools, specifically for AI instruction or education. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have there.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. So I mentioned the course that I created a couple of years ago. And the idea behind that course, as I said, was just a lot of basic knowledge. What are ways that teachers can gain an understanding of this? And I did that because I had the mindset if teachers could embrace it, then we could get them to actually help students learn to embrace it. And I feel like that's happened, that we have a lot of teachers that are using generative AI. However, I don't know necessarily, based on what I've seen, that all teachers are utilizing generative AI, that we're not utilizing it to really maximize student learning. So, yes, it can create a lesson plan, but how is it that the lesson plan has continuity with what you did yesterday and last week? So the idea behind the course that I created now is called AI for Impact, and it's only 4 lessons long. Each lesson is a video of about 20 minutes or so that a full faculty can watch together, just to make sure that they're having the right kinds of conversations that start with pedagogy first. So what is it that we need to understand about quality teaching first? And then it's not necessarily the question of how AI fits, but when. When is it that we can now start to incorporate some ideas with generative AI to garner ideas, to test some of our ideas that we have? So that's really the concept behind that course. And it's about a month and a half old. So I recently recorded it right around Christmas, over Christmas break. So, but I'm excited for that one, AI for Impact.
Yeah, and so how do people learn a little bit more about that? Where do they go and have a pricing structure?
Yeah, we do. And so I can have the link. I'll put it in the show notes for this. I'll share that with you for the show notes, but it's a link to just a purchase page. Normally, we only offer this at times when I present, but we wanted to be able to provide this opportunity for different teachers who are listening to this and administrators. So it's not really to a landing page, it's just to a purchase page, but it's a one-time payment of $99. And again, you can purchase one copy for your entire school. It's mainly meant to be able to help us continue to generate quality resources like this, but mostly we want it to be a blessing for schools. So it's something that is super affordable. It could be the equivalent of your next 4 months of PD and at faculty meetings. But again, $99, and the link will be in the show notes where you can go there. And I think we're only going to have it live for about like the end of February,
Okay.
just so if
Good to
people
know.
are looking for that till the end of the month. So look to purchase that. But again, a fantastic resource. I think it's going to create great conversation and also a reasonable foundation for education in general.
Excellent. Ryan, thanks for your work both at FVL and through Blueprint Schools and on the task force as well. I enjoy working with you and listening to you talk about AI and bringing all your experiences to bear. So thanks for your service to the Senate as well. So thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Like I said, I was excited for this. I've been looking forward to it all week.
All right,
Awesome.
great. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate your time and your busy schedule and all the hats you wear and as I mentioned, I did get a chance to sit in on his presentation and a lot of lively discussion, and I would say a nice cross section in the audience of pastors, teachers, lay leaders, a lot of people interested in AI for a lot of different reasons. Some are trying to figure out to dip more than one toe in the water, to get out of the water altogether, to dive in. And Ryan, I think, addressed all of those well in the conference or in his talk, but also in our conversation with him too.
Yeah, it struck me right off the bat when we asked him to tell us about the session that the very first thing he said was that AI assist versus lead ministry. And it's actually, I have a handout from his session. We'll share that in the show notes. And that's at the top of the handout. AI can assist ministry, but it cannot lead it. It's a tool for support. Martin, maybe even on episode one, we talked about technology being a servant, not the master. So the same story is coming into play with AI as we kind of venture into this new world of artificial intelligence. Interesting that what should be first is God's word, and that other things are there to assist, gifts that he gives us, and gifts that we need to use with great discernment and let his word lead.
Yeah. One thing that did come through loud and clear was that it's almost an imperative that teachers, educators today understand that AI will be a part of their students' lives. And it's important in these formative years to teach them how to use it with integrity, ethically, and well, in whatever career, they move forward with, because it'll be kind of a part of the mix. And to ignore it or to evoke maybe emotions that aren't overly helpful is probably something to pay attention to and to understand. Yeah, this needs to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. I like the concept that you guys discussed. I think you actually brought it up in the interview where you said you have a prompt that always ask AI to give you a better prompt. That's kind of your MO when you're typing into the AI chat box. What better could I ask? And Ryan, I think, said we don't know what we don't know. And that's where it can be a really powerful tool for us in the education arena and leadership in general. What is it out there that others have discovered that might be a benefit to me? And kind of dive deep and learn more, but always with that discernment on and keeping the authority where it belongs.
Optimizing that conversation is all about good stewardship. You can spend hours talking to an AI agent and not get very far, or get into places where, it's not beneficial. So have the AI do what it does well, and that's kind of analyze how best it can respond. So it can look into its knowledge base. It can look into what it responds to well. And that's just a question that prompt you can put into almost any AI and kind of in your profile and say, any question that I ask, end it with maybe some suggestions for a better prompt. And so you don't have to type that in every time. It's just kind of part and parcel. And you can ignore it if you want. I sometimes take its advice, and it's as easy, because it normally puts that in the form of a question. Would you like me to reprompt this with blah, blah, blah? And all I have to say is yes. And it will go forward. So I don't have to do a lot of work. I can just kind of see how that improves it. And very often it does improve the output. So yeah. Ryan certainly put a lot of time and energy into the study of AI. Not everybody has a chance to do that, nor do they need to spend time doing that. So it's helpful for people like Ryan and now the course that he offers. It sounds like a good deal for an entire faculty to be able to spend some time kind of in purposeful conversation around it. I think if nothing more, hear the same things and then have a conversation on the faculty level about its place so that everybody is on the same page. I think that's a valuable thing.
We will have a link in the show notes. Ryan provided that after we talked on this for this particular course. $99 covers, your entire faculty, AI for impact, optimizing instruction, assessment, and student leadership with generative AI. And so it's a special, I believe he said that he would run through the end of February. So watch for that link in the show notes.
Excellent, excellent. Appreciate him doing that. So, and appreciate his expertise and his willing to serve in a lot of different capacities. So he's been a great asset on the task force as well.
That's
Thank you,
awesome.
Ryan. Appreciate your time. All right, Sally, we can move on to our ministry resources segment. What do we have this week?
Well, we have something exciting from the women's ministry area. They will be hosting another webinar. We talked once to Rachel Halderson about how they do their webinars and the impact those are having. This particular one is called You Are an Influencer. Discover how God designed you to make an impact right where you are. And I think it's really a great message, letting your light shine. Maybe, especially as women, we maybe think we aren't necessarily having much influence on the word being spread and things, but definitely we have a way to let God's word permeate what we're doing and all our interactions, including those online, as we just let His word do the work. And there are lots of key points here. We'll have a link in the show notes to information about the webinar. There's a button there to register, and it's happening on Thursday, February 19th from 7 to 8 p.m. Central. So it's completely free to be part of. And I've been part of several of their webinars and find them to be really impactful and helpful. So check it out.
Awesome. Yeah, the ladies over there in the women's ministry group are really on fire, and they're putting out a lot of stuff. They're eager, to share that, and they consistently have some awesome material out there for the ladies within our synod to consume. So thanks to all of them.
One more mention we'll throw in here in ministry resources. This actually harkens back to an episode we did in December where we talked about using AI to create coloring book pages, and we shared some prompts and things, and we specifically asked our audience to share their coloring book pages around the Christmas story. And almost immediately, we received a response from Principal Tom Rosenau, who's up in Fox Lake, Wisconsin, I believe. And he said he was delighted to see the Christmas coloring episode, as he had just told his students they were doing that very thing the day before the episode was released. Go figure. So he actually shared a Google Drive. Let me share my screen quick for those that are watching the video, a Google Drive link that had individual pages this students had created, as well as a compiled coloring book that they had done. So, just a lot of variety. I'm sure they were using different tools and things, but some really great results, considering, that it's AI generating it. Some of them are a little bit odd, but some of them are right on. You have to use your hat of discernment, obviously. Anyway, each of the students picked a favorite one. They compiled a coloring book. We will have a link to the coloring book in our show notes, but basically it's got, pages that have narrated text descriptions of what each of the images are for, and just goes right through the Christmas story. So check it out. And I believe this was a call out that would allow someone to win some fabulous prizes. So
Yeah, so we're going to send over, I think, to the kids at Fox Valley, that classroom at least, or
Fox
Fox
Lake.
Lake, I should say. Yeah, some well stickers. So we'll put that in a package and get that up to you. We just need to know how many to send. So Tom, let us know, and we'll get that in a box, and you can award the winners.
Thank you
Cool,
so
very
much, Tom,
cool.
for sharing.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, Sally. Picks of the week. What are you bringing to the table today?
Well, Martin, sometimes I feel like this is the hardest segment of the show. I struggle sometimes to find the right pick of the week. But today, I'm going to tell you honestly, it wasn't a struggle because God gave me a song in my head when I woke up this morning. And it was a song that I've pretty much been playing on repeat for the last few weeks because I've just fallen in love with this version of a hymn in our hymnal, Now Rest Beneath Night's Shadow. It's hymn 794 in the Christian worship hymnal. And it goes to a very familiar tune if you were to play it the way it's written there in the hymnal. Beautiful words of comfort and peace. But it has now been redone with a new melody and a chorus that was added, lyrics and melody by Pastor Caleb Schmiege and Melanie Borman. And I actually heard Pastor Schmiege perform this with the Lutheran Selai Orchestra, or Kelai, I think is how I'm supposed to pronounce that, back in December when they were at MLC doing a Christmas concert. He sang this song, Now Rest Beneath Night's Shadow. And it has just this lullaby feel to it. I don't know if you've heard this hymn, Martin, but it's a beautiful melody line that they've written. And then the chorus itself is so peaceful. It's hold me, hold me. You'll never let me go. Just really being in God's love and care is such a peaceful thing. These have been some hard days recently. A lot of negative things happening in our country. And these words are just a comfort to me in particular. I think you'll appreciate it as well. It's on YouTube and you can hit repeat and feel that peace as well from God's loving care. So now rest
Yes.
beneath God's night's shadow is my pick.
Awesome pick. All right. My pick is a hardware-ish pick. And you may have heard, and some of you maybe already use, a product from Apple called AirTags. AirTags are these little discs that essentially allow you to keep track of your stuff. You can put them on a lot of different things or in a lot of different things. They're battery operated and they work on the Apple network. So when these devices are within range of an iPhone, of which there are many, they can be tracked. So we have one on a, I have one on a keychain, have one in our camper. We have one in a vehicle. I have one actually in the form of a card as well. By the way, the AirTags were just released, AirTag version 2, which provide a little bit more range and a little bit louder noise when you track it. But the way it works is you use the Find My app on your iPhone, and if you've lost something, it will direct you on a map to where it is. If you're close to it, let's say it's in your house someplace, it'll give you a little bit of an indicator on your phone what direction to head and where it might be, under what couch cushion or whatever. Also, if it's in some other location, it'll plot it on a map and you can go find it that way. So that's pretty cool. But the AirTag system or the Find My system is embedded in all kinds of devices now. And over Christmas, I got a KeySmart smart card. And this smart card basically acts the same way. This I put in my wallet just as another, credit card kind of thing. And it will allow me to find my wallet if I have left that someplace, and which is pretty cool. It's rechargeable, the one that I have, and essentially you just put it on a charger, the same that you'd put your iPhone on, and it'll charge up. But I found it lasts for months and months without having to be recharged. This smart card, there's a bunch of them out there. This one I think costs $40. I think you can get them on sale too, but it is truly about the size of a credit card, fits right in your wallet. And it can, last for months and months. And if you misplace it, if you misplace your wallet, or maybe even it gets stolen, there might be a chance that this would help you find it. So the whole Find My and AirTag system is, went through some growing pains, and they had to kind of ratchet some things back because people were using it for stalking and those kinds of things. And I think they've kind of leapt over that obstacle and made some changes, but I think in general, the system is pretty cool. Lately, airlines have gotten involved, and if you put one of these AirTags in your luggage, you can actually send, and it gets lost. You can send your airline a link to your AirTag, and that will help them locate your luggage for you, which is pretty cool. That's a nice use case for AirTags. So that's my pick of the week.
Very nice.
Use any kind of tracking thing, Sally?
I can't say that I do, but that makes it a lot more appealing to be able to find my wallet. I'm always losing my phone right here in my own house, and I have my phone on silent, so nobody can call me and get me, And so, but yeah, that looks like a nice thing.
If you have an Apple Watch, you can ping. I don't know if you are using an iPhone these days. Yeah, you do. You
I
can find your
do.
phone that way too, right?
Okay. I
Can
have to learn about that.
make it vibrate and tell you where it is. So
That's
I
awesome.
hear that in our house all the time. Not that I need
Where's
it, but my lovely wife uses that probably every day. So
that?
all right, that's it for Picks of the Week. How about community news and feedback?
Well, recently, Pastor Dave Arndt from Tri Rivers, I don't know, Wisconsin, Trivers, Wisconsin, St. John's Lutheran Church and School there, wrote to us and said that he had a Panasonic PBX phone system that's starting to fail and just wanted to know what direction to go. They have 25 phones in their building, no fiber, internet coming in, and they need to actually have phone devices. Two Rivers. That's why it's abbreviated. Okay, Two Rivers,
Is it
Wisconsin.
Two Rivers? He says Trivers. I don't
Yeah,
know.
but in the email it says we're in Two Rivers,
Oh,
Wisconsin.
yeah.
So
Okay,
maybe
maybe
that's a
that's just their
thing.
little
I don't know.
maybe that's just their little shorthand for Two
Sure.
Rivers.
Anyway, Martin and I came up with absolutely nothing to help him and said, you should try the WealthTech Google group. And man, did he get some amazing
Oh, man.
responses.
Yeah, it's right.
That's a an excellent place to ask your technology questions and get responses. So from Bethany Lutheran College, I think Kettle Moraine Luther High School right in. Jason Schmidt had some experience to share, and even someone whose day job is related. So lots of opportunities to explore, vendors' recommendations, all kinds of things. So if you're in the same position as Pastor Arndt and are dealing with an old phone system, this thread is absolutely where you want to head and read through all the expertise and different hardware recommendations, all kinds of things that were included in the responses here. Check it out.
If you want to ask a question of the community, there is a link to that Google group on our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. But there's all kinds of other things on that show notes page as well. In fact, every podcast we've ever done is listed there, fully searchable, as well as ways to connect with us, leaving comments and asking questions, maybe even suggestions for interviews. Those are always welcome. So make that a favorite in your browser and visit that, and we would really appreciate that and welcome you to join the conversation.
Absolutely.
That is going to do it for this week, Sally. We appreciate all of the listeners out there. Come back next time. We're going to talk a little bit about one of our favorite tools, Trello. And we haven't talked about Trello in a while. I've been spending a lot of time in Trello lately for a couple of different reasons. So let's spend some time with it together in a couple of weeks. I think you'll enjoy. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Blessings on your week, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.